Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was walking along San Bruno Avenue in San Francisco one day a number of years ago, and right out in front of me, an elderly woman walked right into a sign and fell. And hit her face on the sidewalk and cut up her forehead a bit as her glasses broke. She was all right and such. I checked in with her to make sure she was doing okay, gave her my name, if there's anything I could do for her. And a couple days later, I get a call from an attorney as this woman is suing the store for placing this sign on the sidewalk. Never mind that she was looking in her purse as she was walking along, and that's why she didn't see the sign. I knew a different elderly woman in San Francisco who tripped and fell as she was getting on the escalator in the train station of the underground train station. She also contacted an attorney so that she could file a lawsuit against the Metro company. During one of my wife and I's getaways a couple years ago, when my mom was here in town taking care of my kids, she was driving them to school, as she always did, and my girls were arguing in the back seat, and my mom was not paying as good attention because she was flustered by their arguing, and she backed into somebody's mailbox and dented our car, which she felt awful about. She proceeded to call my father, who was also in town at the time, so he could come over that evening and bawl out my girls for causing Mama to wreck the car. When I was back in San Francisco, high school, Fort Wayne, Indiana, one day I asked my sister if she'd take my coat home from school. I didn't need it for whatever reason, and she agreed. It's my favorite coat, too. But Christy left my coat on the city bus, never to be seen again. But she blamed me because she said, if you'd never asked me to bring your coat home in the first place, it wouldn't have happened. Last one. When I was a little boy, we went on vacation out to Washington State. My dad used to love to stop and take a look at the various vistas, the beautiful views. And we got out at this one place to look at the view, And my dad, after he'd taken a bunch of pictures, set his camera on top of the roof of the car with a slightly open door. Well, I came running back, opened the door, and the camera fell and broke. And my dad got very, very angry at me for breaking his camera. It's much easier to blame someone else, isn't it, than to accept responsibility for our mistakes and our careless actions. It's much easier to point the finger than it is to bear the blame. That's been true since Adam and Eve were confronted by God back in the Garden of Eden. God came looking for them, and they were hiding. As soon as God talked to them, Adam blamed Eve, and he also blamed God. It's that woman that you gave me. And then Eve blamed the serpent. And then all three of them received a curse from God. Neither Adam nor Eve were able to confront and confess their sin. Both of them tried to appear blameless so that their righteousness might remain intact. But any righteousness that they may have wanted to protect was merely an illusion. You see, they had sinned. They had disobeyed. And nothing would ever be the same again. But it could be okay again. For you see, God already had a plan in place to forgive them and to save them. His plan, as we read, described in Genesis 3:15, was to put enmity between Eve and that serpent, between her offspring and his, so that one day her offspring would crush the head of Satan, though he would be hurt in the process. God was, of course, talking about Jesus, the child of Mary, the descendant and the offspring of Eve. He fought against Satan and he triumphed by rising from the grave, though again he was hurt in the process as he suffered on that wretched cross, paying for our sin. And thus, while Adam and Eve and their descendants could never live in Eden again, they could be back in fellowship with God again. For Jesus, through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, forgave their and our sin and opened the way for us to be back in fellowship with God. But how is that forgiveness appropriated? How is that gift that God won for us on the cross made manifest in us? St. John tells us that it happens in us as we come to God in sincere sorrow and humbly confess our sins before Him. It doesn't happen by pointing the finger or by passing the buck or doling out the blame. It happens as we accept responsibility for our actions and as we admit our failures and our wrongdoings. When we do, God is willing and He is eager to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to read you one of Jesus' stories. He told this parable. Most of you probably know it from Luke chapter 18. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Why did this tax collector go home justified? Why is he the one that went home forgiven? Simply because he confessed his sin before God, while the Pharisee denied his sin, thereby making God out to be a liar. As we read that familiar passage, 1 John 1, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Adam and Eve not only sinned against God, but they made the whole thing worse by failing to accept their responsibility for their actions. The same is true for us. When we choose to place blame upon others, rather than to be accountable for our actions. Jesus didn't come to this earth to suffer and to die and to rise again to save those people who were righteous. He didn't come to care for the people who were healthy or to seek out those people who had never been lost. He came to seek and to save those who were lost, those who were sick, those who were sinful. He came to seek and to save us. Learn and accept this truth. The devil didn't make you do it, whatever it is. Nor did that person in the other car, nor your peer group at the party, nor that flirtatious coworker at the office, nor your friend who showed you that illegal website. Whatever we do wrong, we do wrong. It's not somebody else's fault. It's yours. It's mine. It's ours. Admit it. Confess it. Repent of it. And then by God's grace, receive the forgiveness that Jesus has proclaimed for it. Move forward each and every day of your life knowing that your sins have been forgiven in the name of Jesus. Amen.